pretty much he looked at my sweater and was like, really? Not you too. And he made me explain myself in front of the whole entire class.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
After making a fortune on posting YouTube videos, Logan Paul has been virtually invisible over the past month. The viral video star received a lot of heat when he posted what appeared to be a suicide victim back on December 31st. Paul joined Michael Strahan of Good Morning America to discuss how parents also do need to play a role in their child's internet viewing habits.
I think parents should be monitoring what their children are watching more. Every parent I meet whose kids are under the age of like 12, I go, hey, you let your kids watch my stuff? And they go, yeah, what am I going to do?
Logan also said in that interview that he feels he deserves a second chance. Baseball fans will see some changes to their favorite ballparks beginning this season. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Major League Baseball has announced that all ballparks will have protective netting extending to at least the far ends of the two dugouts by 2018 opening day. Each Major League club has made the decision to expand its ballpark netting beyond the minimum recommendations that were issued by the commissioner's office in 2015. Fans have long debated the issue of sitting behind the protective crosshatch of netting for their own safety or having a clear view of all the action on the field. I'm John Clemens.
And finally, on another sports-related note, on this date back in 2004 at the Super Bowl, Janet Jackson had her infamous wardrobe malfunction. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, let's hear a little bit about Hunterdon County weather. There's a chance of rain, cloudy, and a high near 47. The winds are southwest at about 7 miles an hour. There's a chance of precipitation as high as 40, with new precipitation amounts less than a tenth of an inch. Tonight, though, before 3 a.m., we'll have some rain, and there might be a mixture of snow between 3 and 4. Then the snow will likely abate. A low of 27. We're going to hear from the southwest again with their winds. Chance of precipitation, though, for tonight is 90%. So that's what's happening with Hunterdon County and surround weather. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Your County at Work, and this is Suzanne Legay, your host. Today we have with us our county administrator, who has been with the county now since May, and it's always great when you have someone experienced yet new to a position, because their view of the situation is fresh and brings that experience and brings a critical eye. So we're going to hear a little bit about that today from, again, our county administrator, Hunterdon County Administrator, if we're posting this someplace well beyond our borders, and that's Kevin Davis. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, too. Since I mentioned that you joined us in May, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about your background. But before that, I just want to say, what's those first 9 months like with this fresh perspective that we just talked about?
It's been a great experience. It's a new experience for me because it's a larger government entity than I was accustomed to being involved with. It came out of municipal administration. But I've found the department heads, the people I'm working with, are excellent. They're dedicated to the county, getting the job done, being efficient. It's actually very surprising because you often read in the paper negative stories about government, and particularly at the county level and other counties, not Hunterdon County. And of course. It was a great pleasure for me to see how well the operation runs. And I'm very happy to be part of it, and I hope I'm adding value.
Good. Well, I think our listeners are going to be able to find that out as we go through our hour together today. But tell us what you bring. Tell us a little bit about that background, Kevin. May I call you Kevin?
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Davis was my father.
Okay. When you get to be my age, so you can't pull that line because there is nobody. So go ahead.
So I was administrator in Hillsborough Township for quite a while, for 7 years back in between 2004 and 2011. Which was another great experience for me. It's a Hillsborough nearby community. It's 54 square miles, and I call it a mini Hunterdon County. It had many farms. It has a lot of environmental protection issues, open space, farmland preservation, and also a very frugal approach to government like Hunterdon County has. And so I'd say it was a good training ground to come here. And, of course, this is a larger entity. Before I was in Hillsborough, I spent over 20 years working on the state legislature's staff in both the Assembly and then later the Senate, where I learned how sausage is made, and I can't explain that here. That's a show.
I would never ask you to record that.
And so I've had over 30 years' experience in government, going way back to Hillside Township, where I was the treasurer at one time, and later on the administrator. So I've had, at a young age, I got some experience in that. And after doing that, I promised myself I would never do it again, and you should never say never, because I did, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, here you are. So that's pretty well-rounded, and I think the county is fortunate to have you. When Kevin and I, I talk about the green room. Of course, you have to imagine a green room. There's no such place here at Hunterdon County Radio. But when we did talk briefly before, and I said, of all the things that you could talk about as administrator of Hunterdon County here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, what would you like to start with? What can we let our listeners know about? And Kevin suggested that talking about the shared services with county, with municipalities, because he feels there's a huge cost savings to the county, to the municipalities, and that, of course, relates to cost savings for taxpayers. So, Kevin, tell us a little about, first of all, what is shared services, why you picked that as your number one, because I suspect we'll be dragging you by the neck back here periodically. But, what is it about, what is shared services, and what is it about that you'd like our listeners to hear? So that's a long conversation, and I realize we're going to break that up into little bites. We're not going to eat the elephant in your first 5 minutes here. But
so shared services are, if you want to articulate it, it is a collaborative relationship between public agencies that split or share costs. In the case of a larger agency like the county is already providing some services that may be cost effective for a local government to piggyback on. The National Association of Counties claims that counties are the strategic hub for shared services around the country because it is a regional form of government and is a larger entity. There's a cost effectiveness, there's an economy of scale that comes with what the county is able to do versus a smaller community. In Hunterdon County, you have many small communities where many of the government services that if they offered them on their own would be cost prohibitive to offer, to hire the employees, to build the infrastructure, to provide those services would be beyond their reach. And so Hunterdon County is I like to say, leads the league in shared services around the state of New Jersey.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'd like to hear some specifics about that, and I'm sure our listeners would. Anything that we talk about or you would explain to us about in county government does ultimately relate back to what the taxpayer is paying and what they're getting for their money and the services that we render, so or that the county renders. So just you might as well jump in, huh? And list tell us one, and then we'll go from there. Okay.
Well, when we were originally going to do this show a month ago and we got snowed out, and yes, at the time the bowl games were coming up, and they call the Rose Bowl the granddaddy of them all because it's the oldest bowl. And 911, centralized 911 in Hunterdon County is the granddaddy of them all of shared services. It's over 40 years old providing that service in Hunterdon County. It's a clear case where many, many small communities just wouldn't have the facility to offer 911 communication services locally, as many communities do around New Jersey, but it's very difficult to do with small populations, small tax bases.
Let me just say that with the 911, several months ago, I guess, we did have the George Wagner, who's our chief of staff, and he did talk a little bit about that. But just, I don't want to stop you from telling us about it, but just, you know, if it's the granddaddy, we need to be reminded. So,
well, it obviously, the municipalities have never paid for this service, so it's almost an accepted thing that the county provides 911. That's not true in a lot of other places. However, lots of other counties have begun going to a centralized 911 because they see cost savings. And like it said, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So they're following the lead of Hunterdon County. Our 911 communication center offers round the clock, 24/7, 365. You call, you get an answer, you get helped. I don't know if you've spoken about it previously on this show, but we did save some people from the hurricane in Houston back in the summer. Our 911 center.
No, we haven't had a chance to.
The people were in Kingwood, Texas. They did not have cell service. They did have internet. On the internet, they found the Kingwood Rescue Squad, and they reached out by email, and they actually reached out to the Kingwood Rescue Squad here in Hunterdon County. The person who received that, who's a retired chief of Kingwood Rescue Squad, immediately contacted the Hunterdon County 911 Center, and that group immediately contacted the Harris County Sheriff's Office, where they managed to send out a boat and save these people that were sitting on the roof of their house. So Hunterdon County's 911 came through for people in Texas.
It's an amazing story,
isn't
it?
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It never gets old to tell that story.
Great.
This past year, I was amazed when I asked for some data. Almost 187,000 dispatches by the Hunterdon County 911 Center.
Wow.
So it's a big job.
24/7.
24/7. It's a life-saving job.
Yeah.
And it's a shared service. It's a service for every municipality in the county, every rescue squad, every fire company, every police department that the local government doesn't have to pay for, that the county is footing the bill for that.
And real good communication and sharing of information and data, I think, with them.
I understand there's a need for more radio bandwidth or something. I don't understand all of those things, but we were going to have to spend some more money because the population's growing and the police are responding, that we need to do that. One shared service that probably doesn't get thought about a lot is Raritan Valley Community College.
Oh, how so?
It's a shared service between Somerset and Hunterdon County. My understanding is that Hunterdon County provides about a third of the cost, and Somerset County provides two-thirds. So we argue over whether our third is really a third. Or
who decides that pie, by the way?
I think the Board of Trustees does that.
And it's volume, right?
And the Board of School Estimates.
Is it population, density, and those kinds of things? Wouldn't you? Yeah.
So Mercer County has a community college, Middlesex, Union County College. There's a Morris County College. Hunterdon County doesn't have a large enough population to support a county college on its own. It would be cost prohibitive for the spending that would have to go into building your own community college.
Infrastructure and everything else, teachers,
so
salaries.
So sharing that cost with Somerset County creates the opportunity for Hunterdon County students and their parents, in some cases where the parents are paying for them to go to school, to have an option to attend a affordable institution.
And a noteworthy one that gets all kinds of accolades, awards for their curriculum and
excellent
outcomes.
Education. In fact, RVCC was just recently rated in the top 10 best online community colleges in the nation.
Online, interesting.
Online classes are the thing.
Yes.
I don't think I could do that, but the kids today can do that. And as an example, it's $147 per credit if you're an in-county resident. So if you're a Hunterdon County resident, you're going to go to RVCC. It's $147 a credit. You take 12 credits a semester if you're full-time. That's about $2,000 per semester. Rutgers is $350 per credit. So that's $4,200 per semester if you're full-time. And I said, well, let me compare it to a private school that you might commute to. And Fairleigh Dickinson University, pretty well known in New Jersey, many people go there. $987 per credit.
Oh, my.
Which is nearly $12,000 a semester, which is about what private colleges are charging. I have no room and board in that. That's just taking 12 credits in a class. So if you're a parent and you're sending your child off to school, you may want to think about that affordable option that you get in Hunterdon County because it's part of a shared service with Somerset County.
Fantastic. And I don't think we think. We think about it as our community college, or is it? There are people on all sides of that line going across in terms of how that. But when we think of it through that viewpoint, it makes a tremendous difference to our taxpayers and the availability of our kids to get a high quality education and for the cost and a shared service.
It's a shared service.
That's real. Okay, I'm going to stop you there because I'm sure you have a long list. But we want to hear from folks that help bring Hunterdon Chamber Radio and this program, Your County at Work, to the listening audience. So let's do that.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Your County at Work. This is your host, Suzanne Legay, and we're talking today with the County Administrator, Kevin Davis, and we're more focused on, we've set our telescope here on shared services, which is an interesting aspect of county government or government in general that I don't think folks are maybe up on, and so I find it really interesting. And we've talked so far about Raritan Valley College being one, and also 911, our emergency services that serve all of our municipalities and, of course, all our taxpayers. So give us some other examples, if you will, Kevin, about what are some shared services that our listeners would kind of open their eyes to.
Well, I think that one of the factors in determining the success of a shared service has to be cost avoidance in the future.
Wait, you know what I just did? I'm the engineer, folks, so I apologize. I'm going to ask Kevin to... he has a cough button. I have a mic button. I'm sorry. So you're going to say, I'm asking you again, what are the other things that we should be thinking of? And I didn't turn your mic on, so my bad.
All right. So one of the factors in determining the success of a shared service is cost avoidance. How much are you saving when you don't know you're saving it in the future? After the first year of a shared service, or you'll say, well, we saved this much money versus what we used to spend last year. But then going forward, there's a lack of recognition that you're continuing to save that money that you would have been paying out had you not adopted some type of shared service. And I think one of the great
examples... That's a key point. I think that's a key point.
One of the great examples of that is the consolidation of jail services with Somerset County, which the freeholders accomplished in 2015. Salary and wage and benefits alone when the county was operating in jail was $2.5 million. When you add in all the other costs, the price of the county running its own jail was $5 million annually. So there were also infrastructure improvements that needed to be made to bring the jail into compliance with the Department of Corrections requirements.
It was needing a new roof, right, I think, and kitchen stuff. Yeah,
HVAC system, a kitchen. They're talking about, at the time, $3 million. And as the facility ages, there'd be more capital costs. So the county entered a shared services agreement with Somerset County to send Hunterdon County jail, you don't call them inmates, but clients, to Somerset County Jail to be held for trial here in Hunterdon County. And they have to be run back and forth for that. But
and we didn't the county even have videotaping and so forth installed into the courtrooms?
So some of it, you don't even have to bring some of the prisoners back.
Yes.
So we had to keep some corrections officers on duty to run prisoners back and forth. I think there's 9 now. There were 40. And we pay Somerset County, or Hunterdon County pays Somerset County a per prisoner per day fee. All told, that's costing you a little short of $2 million a year now. It was $5 million when we were doing it ourselves. So the first year you say, well, we paid $5 million and now we're only paying $2 million. Look, we saved. And then the next year you forget that you'd in fact still be paying $5 million or more each year. So the savings, the $2.5, $3 million savings, is every year you're saving that money. Now, nobody sees that. It's not like you're putting money in the bank. It's just savings to the county. And it's a great shared service. It's a great example of a shared service.
That's very interesting. I was wondering where you were going to go with that cost avoidance, and that's a really good example. I also just think, if I were representing some of the listening voices out there, is in that transition, all the employees that, you know, found places to work and moved on or were kept on or so forth. So that was a very smooth move, I believe,
I was told that everybody that wanted a job got a job. Some of them moved to the Somerset County operation, and some moved on to the state corrections and others
elsewhere.
Other
but
it
wasn't done only for
no
cost,
layoffs.
Right?
There was cost savings, but there were no layoffs.
Yes, there you go.
Or no one lost a job, to put it that way.
Yeah.
The county offers a number of shared services that help municipalities and other public entities around the county. One of the key ones is the fuel service.
Cool.
Municipalities and rescue squads and volunteer fire companies that want to avail themselves of any of the county fueling stations, and I think we have 4 around the county, can do so. You sign an agreement with the county. There's an administrative fee, which is 10% of the cost of a gallon of gasoline, and you can have your vehicles fill up on a regular basis from the county fuel station. It's not costing the county anything to do, because we're buying the fuel and they're paying for it, plus they pay a small administrative charge. What does it save for the municipality? You don't have to have fuel tanks just for your own vehicles, which require fuel tanks that cost money, and it requires insurance to protect against spills, and it requires maintenance of those fuel tanks and replacement of those fuel tanks and fuel pumps that break, and DEP inspections of your fuel station. And all of that is off the books for a municipality, in addition to having to go and buy gasoline or diesel fuel to fill your tanks. So we have, I have a total. It's like 24 municipalities or other entities that use our fueling stations on a regular basis. And then we have probably the same amount that access it when there's an emergency and they need it.
So it, like when we had Hurricane Sandy, so yes, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. If a town has its own fueling station, but the power's down and they need to get, they can come to the county and get it. And we have generators now at our fueling stations so that if the power goes down, we have a generator to keep that fuel, to keep that fuel rolling. It's a great savings to localities to be able to do this, to use this, and this is a good shared service. The county's got to provide the fueling for its own fleet, which is large. It's there already. Here's a larger entity that's doing something already, and municipalities and fire companies and such can piggyback on that. And it's widely used around the county. Some school districts use it.
The buses.
It's a great service that is provided because, you know, vehicles, cop cars need gas.
Yeah. And is that a contractual kind of thing? Is that how that goes
down?
Yes,
they sign an agreement with the county, and there's a control mechanism. Everybody's issued some type of computer card. And
a little fob or something like that, I think we talked about.
We know everybody who's using gas, where they're using it, how much they're getting, and which town they're from. And so it's very closely monitored and a good program. It's an exceptional program. I've seen it done elsewhere. I've never seen it as extensive as what Hunterdon County. Again, we lead the league in those kind of things.
Wonderful. So what else? This is quite a list you're amounting here.
Now, go back to, as I said, I was the administrator in Hillsborough for a number of years, and Hillsborough had its own health department. And it's a town of 38,000 people. We have a lot of restaurants and such and delicatessens and things that need to be inspected by the health department. We had a lot of septic. Again, it's just a mini version of Hunterdon County. And our health department was very active. You have to have a health department. You have to have a health officer. You have to do these inspections by state law, by DEP regulations. Again, Hunterdon County has many small communities where the cost of providing this service individually in a town would be beyond the ability of the town to do. And so the county, and I didn't do enough research to find out how long, but the county offers, the county health department does all of that for everybody. Septic inspections, the inspections of retail and that kind of thing. It requires a lot of people. It requires a lot of time. By the way, it requires vehicles that have to get fuel. it's a shared service that's existed for so long in this county that everybody just assumes that's the way it should be. And yet again, when you go around New Jersey, you'll find a lot of communities have their own health departments, and there are counties that are beginning to go to a shared service, a collectivization of those health department services at the county level, because the county has the infrastructure to do it and can be more cost effective in doing that.
Yeah, cost effective is important. Not to put too fine a point on it, but that's staff that's central, right? And it's the cost of providing the service that in one central location. The other thing that I think, Kevin, that we need to just mention to everybody is that in these shared services, they may or may not, as we talked about, require a contract, or they may or may not. With RVCC, it's an individual transaction with the student and the college. But all of these require exquisite communication between the county and the municipality and so forth. And that is something that's really significant in making these things not only cost-effective, but work as smoothly as they do and still provide the service to the taxpayer at the least possible cost to them.
You're 100% right. And that's the amazing thing is no one thinks about this as a shared service. It's just what we do in Hunterdon County. It's how it operates. It's always operated that way in the view of most people. And there's not, I don't want to say credit, but there's not enough recognition that this is a shared service that you might not have if you were somewhere else, and the cost would be higher.
Yeah. I also happen to know on good authority that sometimes these shared services are tested and tried, and we look for how many of the municipalities are interested. And if most of them are, then it's worth looking into. If most of them aren't, then we look for can we serve some and not the others. But again, they're general taxpayer dollars. And if the numbers don't look right and the staff doesn't look right and the interest level on the ground, the municipalities or the taxpayers don't say, hey, yeah, this is something we really want, then we don't do it. So it's not just because someone has a great idea and they move forward. I mean, these things are vetted. They're typically tried out, are they not? And then the communication cycle is put into effect.
Yes. And yeah. You've got to find whether there's interest, whether there'll be participation. Sometimes you try something and it doesn't work out, but normally you'll know going into it whether there's a level of interest in doing it. With a lot of the county shared services, the county's already doing it. This goes back to the locality piggybacking.
Yes, yes.
We're already buying chip and seal material for the county
There's
roads.
Another one.
So if you're a municipality, we open up the opportunity for you to tell us the quantities that you may want, and we'll put it in our bid, and you'll be able to buy the chip and seal material.
If our listeners aren't really knowledgeable about what, tell me what chip and seal really means.
If I knew, I could explain that. So you don't have to dig up a road. If it's only marginally in trouble, you can lay down a sealing factor on it, and it'll preserve it for several more years before you actually have to get into the high cost of reconstruction. And that's it's the main way Public Works does roads, both in the county and also locally.
It's a continual year after year monitoring process and work process with our municipalities and with the county. Is that right?
Yes. I mean,
yeah. So it's a big effort to keep our roads. And I don't know about you folks that are listening to us, but I know that when we drive, and I'm not casting dispersions, it's on our fellow counties, on our surrounding counties. But folks, when they drive into Hunterdon County, know our roads are in really great shape, that the potholes, if they happen to be one, are fixed instantly. But you don't find many of them unless there's been a construction site or something. And Hunterdon County roads are in pretty darn good condition, and we offer that expertise and the cost-effectiveness of working with our municipalities.
Yes.
Yeah. So chip and seal it is, folks.
It's cooperative purchasing. So you're getting the best price. We're buying in a bulk, and so your locality gets to buy it. The county's not paying for it for the locality. The locality still has to pay for their own material, but they're getting the advantage of a bulk cost reduction.
Yeah,
and that works in a number of different levels. The cooperative purchasing that the county offers, or cooperative services that the county offers to localities.
Good. I don't want to take a break right now, but I do want to remind folks that they're listening to WHCR-DB, which is digital broadcasting streaming through the Hunterdon County Radio, and that's hunterdoncountyradio.com. It streams live, and we record these programs, and they can be listened to for download. So you can get your expertise going by listening to any of the downloads that are categorized on the website and cataloged, I think is what I meant there. So we're talking about 911, which is emergency, folks, and then we're talking about RVCC. We talked a little bit about fuel. We talked about health department, and now roads.
Cooperative purchasing. Really.
Cooperative purchasing, and in that case, we were talking about keeping our roads repaired. Not only repaired, but I suspect that we're looking forward and preventing. So it's a preventative program as well as a repair one. So these are interesting. Who knew, right?
Yeah, well, things people don't think about. That,
yes.
That affect your everyday life, and you take it for granted. And you made a point. On my first day on the job, the county engineer challenged me to find a pothole on a county road. I'm still looking 9 months later.
Yeah.
So a great job is done here, and people simply take it for granted. Oh, of course it's this good, because the county's been doing it for a long time. Another area of cooperative purchasing is – And again, something you don't think of, the salt that's used on the roadways when there's icing and snow and stuff. The county provides some salt storage for interested municipalities. So they'll purchase a piece of some salt, tonnage of salt, through a cooperative purchasing with the county. Again, the municipality's paying for it, but they're saving money because the county's buying a large quantity, and so they can add on to our large quantity. And then the county stores the salt for them, which if you're not in the business of public works, you don't really appreciate salt storage. There's all kinds of DEP regulations that cover it. It can't drain out. It can't get into the lands and stuff. And so storing it is an important factor, and the county provides that for some municipalities that are interested in doing it, a piece of the action of the salt that the county has, which most municipalities use for emergency. They'll have their own salt storage, and they may have purchased that salt through the cooperative purchasing with the county. They'll store it at their own public works area. If they run low, they know there's a few hundred tons that they have on hand at the county, and they can always dip into that when there's an emergency if it's hard. And I remember a few years ago in Hillsborough, it was hard getting salt deliveries because there was so much demand, and the boats come from Africa with the salt, and there's all kinds of reasons, and it was hard to get it. So if you have this salt storage, you know, sort of on account with the county, that's really good for you. Of course, we may use it before you get to it, so hopefully the storms aren't that
but
bad.
But in bad winters, and I remember two or three ago, the municipalities are on a rating system, right? And if they can wait a long time to get salt, where we, again, with this purchasing power and the power of size, are much higher on that list, and then we can help our municipalities as well.
That's correct. So, again, there's the thing that you don't think about, but that's a shared service, and there's cost savings, and of course, it's also protection of the public driving on the roads.
Yeah. I'm just going to do a sidebar here for a second.
Sure.
And that is, I a couple weeks ago went down to the roads department, and they make brine also for snow. And we tried to record. I wanted to, and we're still going to have that on our agenda, by the way, is what's brine and how do we make it, and what are the guys that spread it and so forth. But we had malfunction, and so that's yet to be heard on Hunterdon Chamber Radio at your county at work. But people can listen up for that one because we just didn't get it recorded the way we wanted to. But so we're tooling through. I mean, there's a lot of shared service going on here.
I've got one that seems very insignificant. It's not. So the county clerk provides ID cards for all municipalities, their employees. Every government employee has an ID card. You have to have one usually to get into your building or whatever. And in order to have an ID card, you have to, if you're going to have a photo ID, you need a camera. You need the machine that laminates it. You need all of that small infrastructure. Here again, you're in little communities that don't have big tax bases. That's an expenditure for a small town. County clerk already has that equipment to do passports.
Yeah.
And so she offers to all the municipalities in the county, send your employees down to the clerk's office, and we'll do the employee ID card for them for your town. At no cost to the municipality. We've already got everything there, so you know we're providing, they're piggybacking on what we're already doing. It's a small thing. It wouldn't cost a lot, but it's again, a savings to a municipality, and we're just doing it.
And it's not only cost, it's who does it. And
staff time,
the staff is already there doing it. The other thing, I'm another sidebar, see, now we're getting way off, but I just wanted to let our listeners know that one of the shared services that we are providing is that we're sharing our county clerk with the New Jersey County
Association
of Counties. She's this year the president, and that is prestigious for our county clerk and for Hunterdon County because it puts Hunterdon County on the state map, but also one that brings our county clerk, Mary Melfi, with a lot of knowledge and contribution to the state. So no money exchanged there at all, but it's a shared service. We're sharing her with 20 other counties. So I thought I'd add that little PR piece.
And I got to say this, between my passport photo and the photo Mary took of me for my county ID card, I look much better in the photo Mary took. So.
See that? So the county clerk got it going on.
The county offers printing services. We got time?
We do.
Yeah, the county offers printing services. We have a county printing office with all the major high-end ability to print because the county has a lot of print needs itself. And here we have infrastructure, and municipalities can take advantage of that at a cost. They pay for it. But, again, it's a reduced cost because we've already got the infrastructure in place to do that. I think last year 22 municipalities or fire companies or other public entities took advantage of the printing that the county printing office does, and it's pretty well received out there. It's, again, a small cost savings, but when you start to add each one of these up, it's a positive for taxpayers because, again, a small town isn't going to be able to have their own print shop, or they can go out privately, and some people would argue they ought to go out privately, but if you can save the money for the taxpayers, it's a benefit to the taxpayers.
I was thinking of that, Kevin. I'm glad you mentioned it, because when you were saying that, I'm thinking, well, if I'm a private printer, or I'm a this and that, really, you know, are we competing? Not in this regard. What we're talking about is official county or official municipal documents.
Yes.
And what am I trying to say? Files and things like that we can print and store for them at a reduced rate. So it's not that we're competing with private industry. We don't do booklets and marketing pieces and things like that. It's just if you have forms, gosh, that's the word I was searching for. Forms, sophistication here, let me tell you. So applications, forms, and so forth, and municipal business is really what we offer. Not, as you say, not everybody avails the service, takes advantage of the sale of the service, but we do help municipal budgets.
And ultimately, the goal is to never have to fill out another paper form again when
you're
dealing
right.
with the government. Do it on the computer, but we're we're not there yet. So,
right, so and we are mandated to maintain a lot of that stuff, and we do store for municipalities.
Records storage.
There you go.
Which is
I jumped not the gun.
Enough.
Sorry.
Not enough municipalities in the county yet take advantage of this, and we've discussed why it's difficult to gather your records. It's just one of those things. And I was, in addition to being the administrator, I was the municipal clerk in Hillsborough. And I back in the old days, I was the municipal clerk in Hillside. And when you're the clerk and you're responsible for the records, you have such a laundry list of things to do. Getting the records together to send them to storage is just always manages not to get near the top of the to-do list. Nonetheless, the county used records grants that were given out by the state a few years ago to build a state-of-the-art records storage facility for county records. And the county keeps all its records there, including in the special sealed container like Funkin' Wagnalls.
Yeah.
Where the oldest records that date to colonial times are maintained.
Wow. Many under security because of their very nature personnel and legal and those kinds of things are secured.
And so the county has to provide this service for itself, and using a state grant built a which the municipalities contributed their share of the state grant. Built a state-of-the-art facility. Right now, only three communities are taking advantage. Only three communities have taken advantage of it. This is a case where the records that you need tomorrow is not what you're sending off to be stored. And there's laws that cover the destruction of records, state laws that cover the destruction of records. Sometimes you got to keep them for 3, 5, 6 years before they can be destroyed, and there's a form that needs to be approved by the state. And so if you come looking for a record that was officially destroyed, you have a form that says, hey, it was officially destroyed. Many records, though, have to be maintained for 10, 20 years. But no one's asking for those records immediately. So those are something that you could store in long-term storage, and the county offers that. And the first 5 years, I'll make a pitch for these municipalities, in the first 5 years that you store your records with the county are free because of your contribution
early
to what
on.
Was called
yeah.
the Paris Grant,
nice.
Your contribution.
Nice.
And we're working on a new plan to communicate to the municipalities
out.
To let them know that this service is available. We think the biggest stumbling block is simply getting local people to focus on it, because it's hard, it's something that's time consuming, and there's always some more pressing matter on them. So, but we're going to work on that to try to get more municipalities involved in storing their records with the county.
Great idea. We have to pause shortly for a break, but I wondered if you could just list a couple more. I don't know that we have time to talk about many more in depth, but if you could just give us a couple suggestions, because after we go to break and come back, I want you to give us a heads up on what's next for the county in 2018. Yeah, there you go.
The county has a weapons qualifying range at which all law enforcement in the county, all police officers in every town who have to qualify twice a year, minimally, with weapons, can go and do their qualification. They can do their practice. They can do their testing there. It's at no charge to the municipalities. A great deal. It's a shared service. We have to have it. The county has to have it for our law enforcement people, sheriff's officers, prosecutors' people. And so since the county has to have it, police officers from other communities can use it. Our Emergency Services Training Center, which is for volunteer firemen, is another great shared service. Again, there's a group that needs to qualify annually in certain aspects of firefighting or rescue squad. And
basic training, actually,
yes,
too, is that
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, training, right? Like yeah. A basic academy. It's a countywide service, and I understand that other municipalities beyond Hunterdon County use our facility. They pay a fee to do that. But our groups do it at no cost to them. And just some data, what do they tell me? There were 160 classes last year held at the Emergency Services Training Center. And
160.
Over 2,500 training certificates were issued to participants.
That's impressive.
So it's well used.
That's impressive.
It's well used, yes. And it's a great shared service.
Okay. Well, I'm going to interrupt you right there and hear from our sponsors that help not only your county at work, this program, but all of Hunterdon Chamber Radio exist and do the fine work. And now it's streaming live and we can have video. We opted not to do that today, didn't we, Kevin? But perhaps by our next show next month, we'll have you'll have to be watching us as well. But let's hear from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, Kevin, we're into our last part of our program here. We're speaking with Kevin Davis, who's the administrator of Hunterdon County. And we've talked about shared service. I think some surprise information for our listeners and stuff that relates to dollars and quality of service, actually, for our taxpayers. And so we've talked about a lot, and I'm sure there's more. I warned y'all in the beginning that we're not letting Mr. Davis get away from us, right? So we need these updates periodically. But in the time we have left, Kevin, I really wondered if you could sort of give our listeners a sense of, and this is actually the 1st of February, 18. So whenever you listen to this, know that that's the date and time that we're predicting all this. But I wonder if you could just tell us, you know, what's ahead? What's ahead for Hunterdon County from your perspective as administrator?
Well, the government has to operate. It never stops because we have to run that 911 center 24/7, 365. So right now the freeholders and staff are working on the budget for 2018, and that takes some effort and some insights and some gnashing of teeth as people sharpen their pencils and try to work towards a budget number that allows us to efficiently and effectively deliver services without raising costs on the taxpayers. That's a big effort, and we have a great staff, our CFO, Janet Previtt, working very hard on it, and that's something we'll see in a coming month or so when we produce a budget that hopefully is well received by the public, because I know the effort is going into it to make it that way. We're also simultaneously working on infrastructure, capital or bond ordinance. What are the major infrastructure projects that the county wants to go forward with this year and in the coming years? And this is a multi-million dollar effort for bridges and
budget item
roads, yeah, and vehicle purchases and improvements to buildings and IT improvements. And so we're working on that, and that'll be something that'll be forthcoming in the months ahead.
For our listeners, corporate budgets, those of us, and I certainly one of them, have done corporate budgets and whatever for years, but government budgets are different in terms of allocating money and dedicating,
yes,
it and not being able to move budget lines and that kind of, is that so?
State laws are very restrictive on municipalities and counties' ability to move money around and to account for their money. In fact, there's a law that was put on the books now almost 30 years ago that makes it a crime to overexpend a budget line. So you need to budget carefully and make sure you got the right amount of money. And there's a facility for a transfer towards the end of the year if unforeseen circumstances occur. But you got to be pretty accurate in doing a government budget.
And those are public meetings, right? So that folks,
yes,
know.
If
one, it's not like, you know, your business, which I've run for myself and I've worked in others, where you just move this line from that, no, and you know you have a little Peter to pay Paul, but that's not how government,
no,
works, from
and,
what I understand.
And the freeholders have to have an introduction of the budget. It needs to be advertised in the media. There needs to be a public hearing on it, so the public has an opportunity to comment all before it gets finalized. So it's a very transparent process, and it has been for years. Many people don't ever pay attention to it unless something bad is happening, and then they pay attention. And fortunately, here in Hunterdon County, we don't have that problem that they have in other places. And the infrastructure spending is exactly the same way. Again, the freeholders have to introduce an infrastructure or capital spending plan. It needs to be advertised. It then requires a public hearing and a public vote and get public input on it. So it's very much paralleling the budget. And so it's, again, a transparent process so you can know where these funds are going. The freeholders, more than a year ago, set up a program for an open space plan to be developed for the future for the county, because county has a lot of open space and there's a lot of property that may want to be preserved, still needs to be preserved.
And managed,
yes. And so that, what we're calling an open space plan and parks strategic plan has been worked on, staff and a consultant over quite a period of time. And we are moving, and I think we'll see in the next few months, we're now ready to go to the public input portion of it, where stakeholders who are interested in this issue will be able to come forward, take a look at a preliminary plan, make some suggestions, make sure we're on the right course.
A lot of that is shared service too, isn't it?
That's true.
Just thought of that,
yeah,
as you spoke, right? I guess where some of that money that's allocated for open space and parks and so forth goes back to municipalities.
Yes, that's true.
Just thought of it.
And we have 8,000 acres of parkland, preserved parkland in the county. Not
most of it is not developed in any way. Some of it has trails. There's a few. There's about 900 acres, I'm told, that's developed like true parkland. So we'll be addressing that, and that'll be a major issue because preservation of property and land in Hunter County is a big deal. Again, I go back to my days in Hillsborough, as it was in Hillsborough, and it drew the crowds. It was the one thing that drew crowds of people with an interest in ensuring that we're preserving property, that we're preserving the right properties, and we're doing the right thing by having the parks in the right places and that kind of thing. So we can look forward to that. I think near and dear to your heart, economic development is going to have some major steps this year. I know they're getting ready to unveil a website and some other major steps that they're going to be taking. We're in the midst of what we call the procedural review process in Clinton Township and Clinton Town. Where
shared service.
It's a shared service. Absolutely. There you go. Where the county has paid with the along with the municipalities towards having a consultant look at the potential obstacles there are for development in a community, and seeing which ones maybe some old regulations that are outdated that need to be changed or attitudes that need to be changed. And so they're looking at that, and they're going to come forward with a plan. We expect that plan at some point this year.
And perhaps even redundancies that can be eliminated.
Yes.
And costs to taxpayers if they're applying for this, that, and the other.
Cut, you know, fees for application processes. There's a lot of things that could be addressed. And the hope from this process is that we'll have a framework for application in any community that wanted to apply it, and they could do themselves, they could look at, and perhaps the county would help them look at their application procedures, their zoning, their planning, and ensure that it's not getting in the way of legitimate and proper development. Sometimes development, people get a little nervous about that, but there's always a control on it, and sometimes we've done rules long ago that sounded good that are no longer applicable and need to be changed. So that's something in economic development that we'll probably be hearing about later on in this year.
We had our economic development director, Mark Salek, on one of our previous shows that said we're doing a lot of redevelopment, not new development. So it's not building things.
That's right.
It's
that's
how
right.
Can we have economies of scale and reuse vacancies and those kinds of things. So we're glad to hear that that's coming along. We pretty much have to. What's your biggest takeaway when you? I guess this is a subject that you chose, and for very good reason and good cause. As we listen to all the things that you've said, and I suspect by looking at your notes over there that there's even more to tell that we don't have time for. But what's the biggest takeaway, Kevin, that you would say in terms of county services to obviously first taxpayers, but then municipalities and other entities where cost savings and cost avoidance and co-op purchasing and those kinds of things that we talked about can really be utilized?
I think it's that the county's doing more than you know. We've gotten so accustomed to what the county does, it's just part of our way of life. And in fact, when you sit down and you think about it and go all the way back to our discussion of RVCC that nobody thinks about as a shared service, it stands out that the county's ability to help local governments and rescue squads and students going to school through shared services is pretty major, and we just accept it. It's just there for us, and so we should recognize it more.
Fantastic. Listen, I don't think anyone could have heard this show or going to be downloading this show that wouldn't know that a wealth of information was given out. So I thank you very much. I do want that open invitation for you to return.
It was a pleasure to be here, and my agent will be in contact.
And your County at Work can be heard every first Thursday of the month right here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Thanks to them for this opportunity and to our sponsors for continuous support of Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This is Suzanne Legay thanking you for listening.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
So, same as I said to Mark, there's a
USA Radio News.
We were waiting for February. And then we got hit with these corporations giving tremendous bonuses to everybody that Nancy Pelosi called crumbs. That was a bad, that could be like deplorable. Does that make sense? Deplorable and crumbs? Those two words, they seem to have a resemblance.
President Donald Trump earlier today at the GOP retreat in West Virginia, there, as you heard, the president took a little bit of a shot at House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and her comments about the tax cuts and tax breaks millions of Americans are seeing as amounting to crumbs.